in number 745. King Bradley Church, 707. When Jesus would his grace proclaim, he caused the simple, blind and lame to come and be his guest. Such simple folk the world despise, yet simple folk have sharpest eyes and learn to walk the best. They view the warmth of Jesus' light, of Jesus' blood and Jesus' night, which others cannot view. They walk in Christ the living way, and fight and win the wealth-walk day, which others cannot do. 745th hymn.
If the Lord will enable me, I will draw your attention to the text that we have this morning. You'll find it in the 119th Psalm, the 130th verse. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Verse 130 in the 119th Psalm. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And as we said this morning in our opening remarks, it is only the entrance of these words of the Lord that gives light. It is only the entering in of them that gives understanding unto the simple. We may read the word all our days, and we may learn a good lot about it, but oh, what a different matter it is when the word enters. And if it enters into our heart, it is in a new heart. The Lord has not promised that his word shall ever enter into this fallen heart that we brought into the world with us. It is dead to all spirituality, and there is no light in it. Men may have great light in these matters, in the scriptures and the ecclesiastical things, but what is their light? Christ solemnly said, didn't he, on one occasion, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? How solemn. Oh, how we need the entering in, the entrance of the words, these words, to give light and to give us understanding. And wherever this takes place, it is the work of God the Holy Ghost. Not only in the beginning of the real religion, as he brings about life and light in the new birth, when he causes us to consider our end, when he brings the things of eternity into the heart, or as he brings these words, oftentimes words concerning his law, his holiness, into the heart at first, quickening the dead soul into life, giving it light at the same time to see and life to feel. Oh, what a mercy this is. It is a miracle of grace. The more I think of it, how great it seems. And there is nothing but this will ever save our souls. Oh, it must be the entering in. Just as you may be outside and you open a door and enter in. And until the Holy Ghost causes the entrance or the application of his word into our heart, that new heart, there is no life, no light, not spiritual, and it will never do us any good in eternity. But oh, what a mercy, if he has caused his word to enter into our heart, give us a heart, a new heart. It was a new covenant blessing mentioned in the prophets. A new heart will I give unto them. I will take away the heart of stone, that unfeeling heart, and I will give them a heart of flesh. This is that new principle of the fear of God, which he puts into the heart at regeneration, the quickening of the dead soul into life. And that once he does this, it is done forever. Nothing will ever alter it. Oh, what a mercy. You may many times wonder, and that Satan will help on your unbelief. You will wonder perhaps if the word has ever really entered your heart, if you have ever experienced the entrance of his words, God's words, into your heart, giving light and understanding. What a mercy it is. This is not just in the beginning. No. And you'll notice, as we said this morning, words is in the plural. It's not just one word, perhaps at the beginning of our experience, but the Lord in his wonderful mercy, he often brings his word into the heart, causes it to enter. Or sometimes you may be in trouble, you may be in trial, or you may be in affliction or an afflictive dispensation, a mysterious pathway in your lot. You may take the word of God, you may try to read it, and all seems dark. It doesn't enter, does it? There's no entrance of it into your case. Now you may come to chapel, you may hear good preaching, sound gospel, but you go away, perhaps as you come, there's been no entering in of the word. Oh, it's a mercy, you know, if you come to chapel, you want the entrance of his words into your heart, and not come just out of force of habit or custom. That's a solemn thing. You can do that all your days and drop into hell at last. But oh, if you have this entering in of the words of God in your heart, you want it again. And you'll be brought into states and conditions of experience where you'll need it. You'll need it. All the mysterious paths sometimes that the Lord's people are brought into, they can't understand them. They hope in the past, perhaps. Some of us have trodden the way for years. We may be able to look back upon a good beginning and all that, and believe that it was of the Lord. We couldn't deny it. But you come into dark dispensations, it is a way of much tribulation to heaven. And all in these tribulations, sometimes how mysterious and dark they are, you can't understand them. You come to the word, perhaps, if light and life is in your soul, you will come to the word. And not only in the written word, but as you come to hear the word, you want something to enter into your pathway. And we used to hear often of a poor woman who used to come regularly to chapel when I was in my young days. And they would say to her at the end, perhaps the end of the Sunday, "How have you got on?" Sometimes she would sadly say, "Ah, it's been good, but it hasn't said Betty." Her name was Betty. She meant, we knew what she meant, there hadn't been any real entering in of the word into her soul. And if there isn't, you'll go away like you came, only perhaps more aggravated. But oh, it is a mercy to long for and look for the entrance of his word into your heart. And where there's real life, this you will seek and you will want. This is entirely different to the mere professor. He can come to the Word and he can take it. He can perhaps look at a promise, all the blessings in God's Word, and say they're all his, and he can take comfort in trouble and triumph perhaps from the Word of God. But the real deeply exercised child of God can't. Now, he won't long to. He looks at all these things. He looks at these blessed promises. He looks at all that is contained in the finished work of Jesus. But he wants it applying. He wants it applying. Some folk would condemn us. And they say we want too much. They're satisfied without this. But did not the Lord say that man should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth, God's mouth, should man live? That is, in the entering of this word into the heart. And it will enter if the Holy Ghost speaks it. Where the word of the King is, there is power. But oh, how sweet sometimes in the middle of your trouble and trial, the vexatious things in this path of tribulation. Oh, what a mercy it is to have a word. That is to enter into your heart. It seems to break down the wall. You know, in Solomon's song, we read of him standing behind our wall. That is the bridegroom. It's our wall, mind you. That's the wording of it. And it is our wall. We build this wall with our sins and our unbelief between him and our soul. What a mercy. He doesn't leave us there. No, no. He appeared to his bride, his spouse, and he spoke to her. He said, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Have you ever been in a strait in your soul, in such darkness that you could see nothing good, your heart perhaps heaving up rebellion and sin, Satan stirring it up, nothing but repining within you, left to yourself, that's all you have. But oh, do you know what it is for him to speak a word? Perhaps not an oral word, a verbal word, but for the substance of a word to come into your heart. And you know, sometimes he does this in chastening. Sometimes he may bring his people into troubles and trials. They need it. But the psalmist says, doesn't he? It is good for me that I've been afflicted. For before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Well, the Lord mercifully sometimes speaks to his people in the dispensations of his providence and in his dealings with them in a gracious way as he tries them. And sometimes they feel it's his chastening rod upon them for their sins, their unbelief, their waywardness, their rebellion. And it's not pleasant, is it? No. No. But the entrance of his word gives light. Lights. You may look back over things sometimes in your life. I remember a certain incident in my life that was so painful to me that for years I couldn't understand it, why it was. But one day I was thinking about it, it came forcibly into my mind, and I was thinking about it when that word came forcibly into my mind. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. And I could see in the light that came with that word, where I was going at that time. And he brought me to a stop. He checked me. He brought this rod upon me to hold me up, to pull me up, as it were. And oh, what a mercy. As that word came to me years after, all I could see in the light of God's word why it was. And I could see the result of his chastening. I could say, he's not given me over unto death, but I was hastening toward death, I mean in my soul. Not that what eternal life can never perish, I know that, but you can bring yourself into a death-like condition, can't you? And now, oh, how much easier it is to depart from the Lord than it is to return to him. How much easier it is to sin away his presence than it is to get back again into his favour. Though I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, yet I will deal with thee in this world, I will chasten thee, but I will not give thee over unto death. And what light there is comes with the word when he speaks it into your heart. And sometimes he may give you a word of warning, even before a trouble or a trial or an affliction. He may sound home a word in your heart that will give light and understanding. And in all this business with him, it will make you simple. Not in the way that the world abuses this word, no, but in the right meaning of it, will make you simple-hearted. Just as we sang in Burridge's beautiful hymn, I thought what a good commentary that word hymn is on this word simple. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It will make you simple in God's sight, plain and open. And you'll come before him in simplicity and in weakness. And you won't have any wisdom of your own. No, you'll be emptied of self, self-righteousness, and you'll come before him in plain simplicity, like a child. That is the real meaning of the word. Christ said, didn't ye accept ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom. And oh, if you notice the simplicity of a child, as its senses are being developed, as it grows up, as the Lord mercifully gives it speech, it will begin to ask questions. It is simple in its mind. And oh, the Lord makes his people like that as regards spiritual things. I'm not speaking of worldly affairs now, but this work between your soul and God. Oh, he will make you simple before him. And if you're simple, you can bring nothing to him except your troubles and your trials. Just like a little child will go to its parents and tell them all that's troubling it. And it would look up to that parent. And if the parent scolds it, or even chastises it, in a normal little child where there's love in its heart to its parents, it will keep looking at its parents. Why? It will keep looking to see if there's any change in the countenance of its parent toward it. It will see if the frown is still there. It will see if the rod is still there. Do you know anything about it in your soul? Do you know anything about it? Do you not perceive sometimes how you bring a frown upon Christ's face towards you, though he loves you? And it is because he loves you that he frowns upon you, perhaps because of your ways, your waywardness, your forgetfulness, your rebellion, your sins. But oh, what a mercy it is, he will give a word many a time concerning these things, and it will give understanding unto the sinful. He will give you light, it will come with the word, and that he will give you spiritual understanding. The world and the mere professor know nothing of these things. No, it's your mercy and mine if we do. Oh, it is a wonderful mercy to ever have this word entering into your very soul. And what a wall he has to break down sometimes. What a door seems shut fast against him. You know that word in Revelation. The free will likes to quote it, but it is a good word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, we will come in to him. Mind you, if any man hear my voice, this is where the free will is lacking altogether. He thinks he has power to open the door. He has no power to open it. No, no, no. Oh, it needs the power of the Holy Ghost to break down the door and to open it. But when he does, oh, what a mercy. The entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. But it is only in this way. You might sometimes be reading the word at your leisure, and you might see nothing in it for some time. You might be tempted to shut the book up and put it away. But perhaps all at once you see something in the verse, and you say, I never saw that before. You may have read it countless times before, but now there's a light upon it. You didn't see it in that light before. And how sweet it is when it comes like that. when it is a word of promise, a word of love, a word of mercy in your pathway. And sometimes if it's a word of chastening, a word that seems against you, it is a mercy you have. Oh, it is a mercy. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He does chasten the world. No, no, that's coming in eternity for them, forever and ever. But he chastens his people out of love to them in this world. And many a time in the chastening he gives the entrance of his words. It is as though sometimes he says to them, I'm not using the rod in wrath against you. You feel, and unbelief enables you to feel, and Satan will help it all, that this is all in anger against you. It is not. Now the entrance of thy words gives light and understanding to the simple. And when the Lord mercifully does give a word, light comes with it in your soul, and you begin to understand what he has against you. And you begin to seek that he will have mercy on you and bless you, and not turn away from you. You find in the Solomon's song, where it seems for a time as if he had turned away from his spouse, And she says, in the sorrow of her heart, she says, until the day break and the shadows flee away, until that day when I shall enter into thy presence for good in a glorious heaven, until that day be thou unto me as a roe or a young hart upon these mountains of Bethel, mountains of division, the margin calls them. Oh, what mountains there are in one's pathway. And she wants him, no doubt she would often have seen literally the roe or the young roe, the hart skipping about upon the mountain, sure-footed, never falling, and she knew that he could come to her through his finished work, his precious blood, his righteousness, and in his high priesthood he could comfort her heart again. And she says, be thou unto me like a roe or a young hart. And then she wants him to speak to her, to grant her communion. And one moment of that communion is better than anything else in this world. One touch of his love with him. One touch that makes Christ the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely one. What is there to compare with it in all this life? When your corn and your wine increases and you prosper in this world, you will leave it one day. Not that I'm against genuine prosperity, no, but it's when we set our heart upon it. Oh, it is an infinite mercy not to be left there, for it will all pass away one day. One smile as the hymn writer puts it, Miss Steele, one smile, one blissful smile of thine, thou dearest love, outweighs them all. And so it goes. Do you count it so? Have you felt it so? Have you felt the entrance of his word giving light in your soul upon your pathway? Upon your circumstances, upon your afflictions, upon your trials, upon your temptations, upon the darkness that you may be pervading, and the fogs and mists that sometimes envelop your poor soul spiritually, have you felt sometimes the entrance of his word in it? And what a difference it makes, doesn't it? What a difference. He can disperse all these things in a moment by the entrance of his word. His word. Sometimes in the deepest trials, I once knew especially in one terrible trouble when I was faced with a dreadful trouble and torn no way out of it, as I sat down despondent and in almost despair of my soul, never shall I forget that word sounding like a trumpet within, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And in a fortnight's time it was turned round completely altogether and finished completely. And the weapon that had been formed against me was gone entirely. But oh, it's a wonderful mercy. The entrance of thy word gives light. It gives light. And it gives understanding. Understanding, that is, in the mystery of these things. Oh, we pour over them, don't we, ourselves sometimes. We pour over them. The afflicting things, the trials of life, the troubles, the tribulation, and how dark it all seems. You may put your hand to troubles and trials. The Lord may leave you to spend all your strength. And then, like in the 107th Psalm, you fall down and there's none to help. And you feel it, but oh, what a difference it makes when the entrance of the Lord comes in, the word comes into your heart, perhaps in some sweet promise, or perhaps in the Lord mercifully shedding abroad his love again in your heart, and giving you to feel his unchangeableness, and that all the changes are in you, they're not in him. No, if he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, with loving kindness I've drawn thee. And you know he may use the bitterest things in your life to draw you away from yourself, all your strength, and away from all help except in himself. He empties completely whom he fills. And a painful business it is to this proud nature that we carry about with us, that we brought into the world with us. It does like humbling. It does like emptying. It does like bringing to the end of all things. It does like bringing down. It's so independent. And it would be independent if it could. Well, the Lord brings his people into all these things to show them the evils that are in their hearts. And the Lord also shows them this, that the entrance of his word, it brings light, and it gives understanding when he has made them simple before him. And what a terrible lot there is to do sometimes before we are brought down in this simplicity that I've mentioned. Oh, there is so much in this nature that Satan will help on. When he breathed into Eve in the Garden of Eden, when he breathed the poison into her, he said, ye shall be as gods, ye shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. It is as though he said, you only know good now, that you will be as gods, knowing both good and evil. And oh, it was the beginning of pride as he infused it into her heart, beguiling her. Having followed her in the transgression, and we know the dire results. If the Holy Ghost has dealt with us, we know and believe the dreadful results, that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and that there is no spiritual life or help in us by nature, that we need the breathing in of the entrance of his words to give light and to give understanding and to make us simple. And you know this goes on more or less all through the life of God's people. And many a time, especially as they get older, they look at the end, and how solemn it is. It is the end of all things here. The end of all communication here. But it is called, isn't it, in the book of Job, the king of terrors. So it is to humanity in and of itself. But oh, what a mercy it is, as we look at it sometimes, if the entrance of his word gives light, and gives understanding unto the simple. For I believe he will empty his people completely before the end of everything of self, and he'll bring them to this, that they have nothing at all but sin. And there was a pleading within them for mercy. And what a favour it is if he brings the entrance of his word. His word is life. Christ is the living word, the eternal word, as we read in that beginning of John's Gospel. He is called in John's epistles to the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, says John. Oh, what a mercy it is to see him as the light of the world. And it is the entrance of him himself in his word, as he speaks it into the new heart, that gives light and understanding to the simple. What a mercy it is when death, you're facing it, I am, when we face death in our feelings, our thoughts, our meditations. Oh, what a mercy it is if we have in any little measure the entrance of light, and all that it means, I mean, in the person of Christ, his finished work, his glorious justifying righteousness, his sin-atoning blood, his compassion in heaven as the high priest over the house of Israel. Oh, to have this the entrance of this in your heart. How it will give you light, won't it? And it will give you to feel that when the end comes, it will be entering fully into that light which you will never come out of. Never leave. Oh, what a mercy to have such a hope. Here in this world, we know what dark shadows are across our path. We know what mountains arise. We know what troubles and trials are. But oh, to have a hope that there we shall enter into light itself. Blessed, efficacious light, and never know darkness anymore. Christ is the light of his people in this world, that all, when we come to the end, to bask in the light of his countenance forever and ever, all through his finished work, his blood and righteousness, oh, what a favour it will be, what a favour. Well, sometimes it does enter into our hearts, this sweet and blessed hope. And what light it sheds abroad. It will dispel all your gloom and all the darkness in your heart. All the clouds will disperse if he shines into your heart and gives you again to feel the entrance of his words, the whole words of salvation, all contained in the person and work of Jesus. Ah, it means a glorious end for God's people. What a prospect there is before them. Oh, what a prospect. What is there in this world to compare with it? Nothing. If you're satisfied with this world and all it can give you, it will die when you die. But all the consequences of sin under a holy God and his law, you'll come into it then, and you'll never do here. But oh, if you'll never have this entrance of this word into your heart, giving you light upon yourself, giving you light upon him, a holy, holy God, and then the entrance of his words revealing Christ to you, and in your troubles and trials through the pathway, now and then shedding a light upon them by his words. Oh, what a blessed prospect there is before you. Eternal life and light in a glorious heaven. The era must close, the time is gone. May the Lord bless his word to us. Amen. Thank you.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £30.70, for which we would be sincerely thankful. God willing, Mr. Parley is expected to preach on Wednesday evening and next Lord's Day. Let us close with singing hymn number 726. Tune Wells 507. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Day spring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. A 726 hymn.